If you know somebody taking the Healed Being course over at healedbeing.com and they're serious about it, they're doing the work, they've shifted their focus onto themselves, and they're doing whatever it takes to deal with and heal their unhealthy coping mechanisms, and they're sticking with it, you're going to see an entirely new person come out on the other side. Healed Being is for the person who hurts those they love but want to change that and show up as the best version of themselves. If you think that's you, or you want to share this with somebody you care about, head over to healedbeing.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hey, this is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skills you need to deal with life's challenges in the most emotionally intelligent way. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. And I am so glad that you are here today. Welcome to another week after, we're on year 9, 2013, coming up to 2022, November. I'm sharing that because today's episode is going to contain an email about the imposter syndrome. I experienced something called the imposter syndrome back in 2014. So I was doing this podcast for about, 4 to 6 months. So I'd been doing it for about 4 to 6 months. And then I started getting feedback. I started getting emails. Actually, I got one email that came like 4 or 5 months later telling me that somebody was actually listening. And they wrote and said, "I love your stuff." And in fact, they actually sent me a donation and said, I love your stuff. I want to donate to you, just like I would donate to NPR or something like that. And I was just humbled beyond belief. I just couldn't believe it. I knew people were listening because, you know, when you run a podcast, you can see how many people download, the show and how many people stream it and things like that. And I knew people were listening to it, but I didn't know for how long they'd listen or if they even cared about what they were hearing. I just knew that people were downloading the show, and they didn't let me know. They didn't write and say, "Hey, I downloaded your show," or "I listened to your podcast and I love it." So I just kept putting it out there week after week after week, knowing that people were downloading, but never getting the feedback. And then when I got this message saying, "I love what you teach, I'm learning a lot, here's a donation," I was floored. I suddenly felt not worthy. I felt like, how can I explain it? I felt like, why are they listening to me? That was my thought. Why are they listening to me? Or more accurately, why would they listen to me? They could listen to anyone in the world. Why the heck would they listen to me and find what I'm talking about worth listening to so much that they pay me for it? It was mind-blowing to me. So when I received that message, again, a huge slice of humble pie, and also a major test of my self-worth, like how worthy did I feel? I didn't feel that smart. I didn't feel that important. I didn't feel that someone out there that I've never met would listen to me and appreciate what I had to share. I mean, I think I knew that at a deeper level. I've worked with people one-on-one before I went onto a podcast, and they seemed happy with the results, you know, clients I've had. But to put the message out there with no feedback and then to suddenly get feedback, again, it's just something that I had to work through. It was a personal challenge. It was something I'd never faced before. And this is what can happen in life, is that we can go through many, many years, our entire lives sometimes, without facing something very specific. And then when it happens, Now we have to deal with it for the first time. So that's what happened to me back in 2014. I had to deal with somebody's feedback about what I was talking about for the very first time, you know, through the podcast. And because I didn't know anyone was really listening. I mean, we can all like go to the store and buy a CD. You remember those days? How about a cassette? Remember those days? How about a record? Well, they're coming back. So we can go to the store and buy something. And if we never open it, the store shows that one was sold and they can say, hey, one was sold. Maybe we should reorder that for inventory because people like it. But that music might go home with that person, but maybe it was never opened. That might be a silly example because, you know, we have digital downloads now and streaming and all that stuff. But back in the day, and it still might be a silly example because back in the day when you bought a record, you listened to it. You bought a cassette, you bought a CD. You're darn right, I'm going to listen to this. I bought it. But a free download, that was just something that I had to figure out as I went along, is that people that download and listen to the show are probably listening to the show. And it didn't hit me until I got the letter telling me that. And then to say that they were learning something. So this is where the imposter syndrome, the feeling that maybe you're not the right person for someone else, kicked in. I felt like I couldn't possibly be the right person for them. I couldn't possibly have information that would help someone else. Why me? I'm no one special, and the information is already out there. You can find it anywhere else. Why me? That was the question. Why me? And also the question, why not someone else? Why not go to someone else? Why listen to me? Because I will have never learned enough to be your teacher. That was my thought. I will have never learned enough, or I could never learn enough, to teach you something that you either couldn't find on your own or learn on your own or learn by yourself. And that thought had stuck with me, I guess, most of my life because I didn't know it was in there. I didn't know I could be the person on stage to teach a crowd of people that may have never met me or heard of me something that they didn't already know, or even more challenging to comprehend, would actually improve their life. Imagine if you could improve someone's life just by sharing what you know. That's something I believe now. Imagine you could improve someone's life just by sharing what you already know. Or just by reading a few pages in a book and then sharing what you've learned with somebody else that didn't read those few pages. This is where we start to break apart and loosen the grip on the imposter syndrome. And in case I didn't explain imposter syndrome for those who don't know it, you feel like an imposter. You feel like you're a phony. You feel like people are looking at the wrong person when they look at you. You feel like they see something in you that isn't true. Back then, that's how I felt. You must see something in me that isn't true for you to like me. That's a very limiting belief to have. That's saying that you're not worth listening to. You're not worth respecting or admiring what you know. You're not worth it. That's how it felt for me. I can't possibly be worth it. Even though I was confident and said, hey, I'm going to go on the air and teach people what I know. I'm going to go on the air and share stories about my life and explain how I healed from things, and hopefully that will help others heal too. I'm going to create a podcast and share my expertise. That's like saying, I know about emotional intelligence and you should listen to me, or I know about emotional intelligence and toxic relationships and difficult people and emotional abuse. I know all this stuff, so you should listen to me. That's how it felt. It felt like people might perceive me as that. That was my thought process back then, that people might perceive me as someone who thinks he's smarter than he is. And when you have this feeling that people might perceive you as smarter than you are, or, you know, more clever or greater at something or stronger at something, and you don't think or feel that you are that smart or that strong or that great at something, that's when the imposter syndrome can develop. And if you hold on to the idea that you're not that smart or you're not that great at something, or have this thought that you don't believe that people should look to you for answers or guidance, then what ends up happening is every time you are praised, every time someone says, wow, thank you, I've learned so much from you, every time somebody thinks that you're intelligent, you actually put yourself down. You hurt yourself emotionally when people are raising you up, when they're praising you. And so being in that space back in 2014 or so, having gone through that, the thought that I was an imposter was something that I had to go through because I never experienced it before. It's a lot easier when you're one-on-one with somebody and you guide them through something and they say, wow, thank you so much, that was helpful, you're so smart. It's easier to hear it then and there because you're interacting, it's personal, and you're probably friendly with them. But when somebody comes up that doesn't know you, you haven't developed any rapport, for example, or they read something you wrote, they follow some advice that you gave them, and maybe you don't know them that well, maybe it was online, and somebody says, wow, that's brilliant. It saved me so much time or money, or it saved my relationship. When somebody says that to you, can you be in a space of, wow, that's awesome, that's great to hear, thank you so much? Or do you dive into a self-deprecating place where you don't believe that you're capable of helping someone else at that level, or they're praising you to the point where it's above your own belief about yourself? Because that's where the imposter syndrome really kicks in, is that if you don't have enough belief that you are absolutely amazing and intelligent and so many other things, if you don't have that belief, when somebody comes along and says that about you, that's when self-deprecation can happen, and you can have all this negative inner dialogue and self-talk that just brings you down. So what's supposed to be a happy moment of filling up your ego in a healthy way, where they're admiring you or respecting you or praising you, when that happens, if you're not receptive to it, you could actually bring yourself down and their compliment could ruin your day. I hope that's not true for anyone listening, but it was for me. It was for me back then. A compliment, I wouldn't say ruined my day, but man, it almost caused me to back out completely. I better not put myself out there anymore because I'm starting to be noticed. I'm starting to get recognized as someone, and this is what I believed back then, not worthy of this admiration or praise, as someone that they think is intelligent. And so I had to get into this space, not saying that I now think I'm intelligent and you should listen to me. That's not it at all. I had to get into a space of acceptance, of reception. And I had to get into another space that I'm going to talk about when we come back, that helped me get past the point of self-deprecation. For the main reason that not only did I get that one piece of feedback, but I kept getting it. And it became something that if I didn't address it, I would never be able to stick around in this podcast and continue teaching what I know and share what I know and hopefully change or improve your life in some way. I would never be able to do this had I chosen to just back off, back away, and stay out of the spotlight. I mean, that's where the imposter syndrome kicks in, right? You're in the spotlight. And people are looking at you and they think that you're this person that you think you're not. And that can be scary as hell. They're looking at me. They think I'm this person that I'm not. I mean, that reminds me of the first time I was on stage for something totally unrelated, not this. It was actually a technical conference for some software. But I went on stage, I went behind the microphone, and I said, you know, I got to teach people about what do they teach them? Something about, improving the speed on your mobile and laptop computers, because I was into technology and I knew how to do this stuff. And I decided that I was going to give this little speech, a couple minutes, to a group of about 200 people. And I was confident walking up there saying, I'm going to teach these people something. I know this for a fact. And as soon as I stood behind the microphone, I started shaking. I started thinking, wait a minute. Am I the right person to teach this? I'm not a computer guru. I'm not some deep level programmer. I'm not anything really. All I know is how to improve the speed on your computer and your mobile phone. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. But as soon as I got behind the microphone, I realized how much I didn't know. And I felt suddenly very self-conscious. But I was able to tell people what was on my mind, and they had to pull me away from the mic because I spent too much time up there. As you know, I'm probably a talker. Behind the microphone, I am. In public, I'm kind of quiet. But this is where I was. I felt like that I was not qualified immediately. I just felt suddenly not qualified because I was in the spotlight and all the attention was on me. And so here I am today in the most introverted job that you can find. Not really a job, but podcasting. It's the most introverted thing I can think of. I am in a room by myself, no one around, talking into a microphone, recording into software. But the difference is when I talk, I am talking to you. I see you in my mind. I can hear you talking back to me. And because I hear that, I try to handle all the questions that come back or the comments that come back in my mind. So that has helped me become, I think, a better broadcaster, podcaster, and given me more confidence as I sit here doing this in a room by myself. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about the specific steps that I took to get out of this feeling of not being worthy enough, this feeling of not being smart enough, these thoughts that I had, these questions that I asked myself. Why would anybody listen to me? Why would anybody want to hear what I have to say? Where does that come from? That's crazy. You shouldn't think that about yourself, but we do. We feel these ways. And of course, yeah, we can think of where this comes from. But let's just go over this. I'm going to read you that email when I come back, and I will give you my insights and opinions right after this. Now talk about being so focused on a problem in your life, like the imposter syndrome and feeling not worthy of what you know or what you can share with other people or the world. Our sponsor today, BetterHelp, can help you become a problem solver. And when you have a problem in your life, an emotional problem, a psychological issue that you're just trying to get through, everything I talk about on this show pretty much, if you're trying to get through any type of psychological issue and you want to work with a trained professional, a therapist that can help you become a better problem solver to make it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small, BetterHelp is there to help you achieve this. Back in 2013, I was stuck. I was focusing on my problems instead of solutions. I needed a different mindset. I needed a different outlook. And when you can't change your mindset and you need one-on-one guidance, BetterHelp is a great therapy option. They are online through video chat or messaging. They're convenient, accessible, affordable, and you'll get matched with the right therapist right after filling out a brief survey. BetterHelp is there to help you out. And I had a great experience in therapy. It was right after a long-term relationship ended, and I really believe it helped me continuing focusing forward instead of thinking about all the stuff that happened. So if you're stuck and you want to move forward, visit BetterHelp.com betterhelp.com/brain. You'll get 10% off your first month if you visit that URL, BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/brain. This might be exactly what you need to overcome your challenges. Welcome back. Like I said, I'm going to read you an email regarding the imposter syndrome. This person wrote and said, how are you? I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. I hope you're doing well. Thank you so much for the podcast. It has helped me so much. I can't really explain it in words. I have a question. Do you have an episode on the imposter syndrome? I compare myself a lot to other people, and I always think I suck in comparison to them without knowing their personal story. I've always been a top student, and I started getting anxiety back in 2013. I was diagnosed with depression. I never stopped studying, but I wasn't able to do it at the same speed as before. Right now, I'm waiting for approval on my thesis, and I'm almost done with my master's degree. Yesterday, I went on LinkedIn and saw that two colleagues who started a year later than me had a graduation party, and I could just feel the wave of self-loathing and self-hate. Immediately. It took me a while to calm down, and I wondered why my first response was that I don't have value. I really look forward to your thoughts on this. Thanks again. There it is, right there. That's exactly what I was talking about in the last segment, the negative self-talk that comes. Now, what's interesting is that this wasn't so much this person putting themselves out there, but working on themselves and improving themselves, getting an education. And first of all, thank you for sharing all this. I totally get it. I totally understand. I can empathize for sure because, going into the space that I'm in right now, for example, I basically have a small business, The Overwhelmed Brain. That's my business. It's my podcast. I do the podcast for free, but I have products. I have services. I've worked with clients. I charge in different ways for different things, but I try to do what I'm doing here for free because it's nice to have a free resource. I want to give people everything I know, and then for those who can afford it, they purchase what I have. But my point is, when I started this small business, there were many other businesses that were doing well and sometimes doing very well. And I mean, businesses in the same category that I'm in, self-improvement and healing and even toxic relationships. There are people out there that teach it, that sell products, that coach, that do all kinds of things. They help people with the same type of things that I help them with. And when I was beginning to charge for some of the stuff that I do, it was an interesting thing that happened because I would see people with, $2,000 programs, and I would charge $49 a month. And I thought, wow, I guess I'm not in the same level, and maybe they're smarter than me because they're charging so much. So I had this comparison thing going on. That's what the imposter syndrome is all about, right? It's comparing ourselves to someone else and what they're doing. And then going through some doubts, maybe big doubts, and of course, the self-worth thing and what you experienced, person who wrote, self-loathing, self-hating, and questioning yourself, like maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I'm not smart enough to do this. Maybe other people are doing what I want to do, and they're doing it so well that they can charge that much, in my case. Maybe they're doing it so well that they can charge that much, and the world doesn't need me. Again, those doubts and the lack of confidence in yourself, all this creeps up and starts to permeate your brain, starts to saturate it. And suddenly you feel like you're just not good enough because everything else. I mean, when I came out, Tony Robbins, not that I'm comparing myself to him, but Tony Robbins is in the self-improvement, self-help field, and he's, I think, a billionaire by now. He's been doing it for 30 years. He's been doing it for a long time. So why do you need me? Why do you need Deepak Chopra? And I'm not comparing myself to any of these people, but I realize that you can probably look up the subject matter that I talk about anywhere else. I mean, I'm being transparent here. You can look up anything I talk about anywhere else. But the difference is, and here's where my mindset changed. I mean, there's a couple things I'm going to tell you, but the difference was back then when I was starting to go through this process of why should I put anything out there if it's already out there? I mean, because we all have a unique perspective. My perception, my understanding, my interpretation, and the way I present, that is going to resonate with certain people. The way I'm presenting to you right now may resonate with you if you're still listening after, what, a half an hour? You know, this episode has gone on. If you're still listening right now, I'm assuming that the way I speak and the way I present is something that is somewhat agreeable. Otherwise, you would have tuned out a long time ago. So in order for me to feel good about what I'm teaching, I have to remember that nobody would listen who doesn't agree with me. And if they do listen because they don't agree with me, that's kind of cool too, because then they'll write to me and say, you're wrong. I actually like those kind of I like those kind of messages, because I prefer challenging myself. I prefer to know if I'm doing something wrong so I can improve myself or correct something that I said wrong or badly or whatever. But what I'm saying is that I could have stopped what I'm doing because the information is already out there, but it's not out there in my words. It's not out there the way I teach it, my unique perspective, and my own thoughts and feelings, and especially my own personal experience, my own history. This all combines into a unique, very original formula for who you are, or of who you are. It's very original, very unique. It may be the same data, like overall top level data, like anxiety is a category that you can find in probably 1 million resources, videos, podcasts, books. You can find so much information on anxiety that there is no use for any more information on anxiety. Right. We all know that it's helpful to have as much information as possible, and sometimes you don't find what you need, and sometimes you find so much of the same information that it just doesn't work for you. My goal in this show is to give you stuff you've never heard anywhere else, and I don't always succeed, but I try my best because I think I have a unique perspective and a fresh look at things. But my goal is to continue showing up as original and unique as possible, because that's how I think. And this is another part of this. How do you think? How do you think? You're going to think differently than everyone else. You may have similar values. You may have similar beliefs. You may have similar ideas. But it will always be from your brain, which there is only one of. There's only one of your brain. So this is helpful when you find yourself comparing yourself to people, because yes, the people I talked about, Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra, and again, I'm not comparing myself and I think we're in different categories anyway, but I wanted to say some popular names that you might know, because this is what happens. We feel like there might be somebody out there doing everything in a way that's better and smarter, and they're making more money and all this stuff they do, that might make us feel like we shouldn't take a step toward what we want to do with our lives. But nobody has my brain, the overwhelmed brain. Nobody has this. Nobody has my brain. Nobody has your brain. So first of all, that is valuable. Your brain is valuable. And if you say, well, I don't know enough, it doesn't matter. Your brain is valuable, because what's in your brain is a combination of your lifetime of experience and history and everything that has happened to you. That specific person that hurt your feelings one day gave you a lesson. That specific thing that happened to you, that job that you got fired from or got promoted, those things that have happened to you have only ever happened to you in the way they happened with the people that were in your life at that time. So this is your unique perspective that you bring into the world. Just like when you tune into this show, I give you an absolutely positively original perspective from my brain that you can't get anywhere else, because it's my brain. There may be ideas that are similar. There may be concepts and even processes that you've heard before, but not in the way I teach it. You know, I can't guarantee that out of the many, many years that I've been doing this, that somebody else hasn't come along and did it the same way, but how much more content have I put out there that isn't? So I wanted to share that just in case you don't think you're unique or original. This is one part of this equation with the imposter syndrome and getting past it. It's not necessarily addressing what this person in the email is going through. What this person in the email is going through is they see someone that has done something either before them, like maybe they graduated sooner, so that makes the person who wrote feel like, oh man, maybe I should have graduated by now, or maybe I should have some accolade, or maybe I should be in a job by now that pays me well, whatever it is. This is the self-hate and the self-loathing that this person came up with. Well, here's the thing. I remember my girlfriend telling me, she said, I watched all my friends get into relationships before I did. And year after year, I would wait for the perfect guy and he never came. You know, perfect, I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but I'm waiting for, you know, my guy. Where's my guy? And so I would see my best friend get into a relationship and another one of my friends get into a relationship. And then they would tell me how happy they were. And I felt awful. I felt like, why are they getting these people and I'm still waiting for someone? You know, I've done the work. I've done the healing. I've done the personal growth. Why can't I get what I want too? And she said, it took me probably 3 years to understand what was happening. I forget the number of years, but she said, after a few years, she realized that the relationships they got into failed. They just broke up. Her friend that said, oh, I found the greatest guy in the world. We're so happy. My girlfriend saw this and, you know, I don't know if it was jealous or envy or whatever it was. She put herself down. She thought she was doing the work and she's not getting what she wants and deserves. She believes she deserves. But she was comparing herself to a situation that wasn't exactly the way she perceived it. This is one part that's important to understand, is that when you look at an outside situation, it's not always exactly how you perceive it. In fact, it's usually not how you perceive it at all. It's just a perception that you fill in all the blanks because you don't know the rest of the story. So what ends up happening is that her friends get out of these relationships and she decides that, oh, you know, I'm looking at it as something that it really isn't and I'm making stuff up because I'm having a hard time. So I feel like I'm getting the short end of the stick here and they're in these great relationships, but it turns out maybe those relationships were awful and they sounded great in the beginning, but now I see that that's something that I wouldn't want for myself. So I see what's happening over there and it looks great, but I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want a bad relationship. I would rather be in no relationship than a bad relationship. And so her mindset started to change and she started thinking differently and she started realizing that everything that she looks at outside herself has more to the story and isn't always what it's cracked up to be. And that helped her step away from comparing herself to others because her journey is hers and their journey is theirs. And what they've learned in their life is going to lead to what they end up with in life because of their choices, because of their beliefs, because of their values. If you see someone that looks like they're succeeding, you have to consider the rest of the story. Now, they may be succeeding. They may absolutely be succeeding because they've done some inner work and that inner work has caused them to make the right choices and say no to people that are toxic and say yes to people that aren't. And they just keep making these right choices. So sometimes we show up in the world and we make choices that are wrong for us. And then we look at other people and think, well, why are they so lucky? Sometimes it's not luck. Sometimes it is. But we compare things that aren't necessarily comparable because they're in a different place in life and we're in a different place in life. And sometimes we need to learn. Sometimes we need to learn our lessons to make the right decisions, to have the appropriate healthy beliefs, to understand what we value and to also honor ourselves, honor our boundaries. Because I've heard from so many people, a lot of people that write to me and say something along the lines of they keep being mean to me, something along that lines. And I'm not putting you down if you've ever said that to me. I'm saying this is what I hear a lot. They keep being mean to me or they keep making me feel bad. They keep saying things that aren't true. And every time I talk with them, they put me down. You know, something like that, some really toxic person in their life. But I never hear them say anything like, I respond by saying, hey, if you say that again, I'll never talk to you again. They don't write to me and say that. They'll write to me and ask, what should I do? Is there anything that you can tell me what to do? Now, that may or may not be what I tell them to do or suggest that they try by telling somebody, hey, if you talk to me like that again, I'm never coming over again, because I don't want that toxicity in my life. So either learn to respect me, or I guess we won't be friends anymore, whatever, you know, the situation is. People write to me and they will ask questions on how to deal with certain people. I mean, this is just a percentage of people. They'll write to me and say, you know, so-and-so is really hard to be around, or they're saying things and doing things and I don't know what to do. And so when there is a toxic person in someone's life, and they haven't learned how to communicate in a way that is effective enough to keep that toxic person away or keep their toxicity from affecting them or infecting them, then what ends up happening often is that there are usually other toxic factors in their life. Maybe they're at a job where the boss yells at them and shames them in front of all the other employees. Someone with very healthy boundaries, who feels that their integrity is more important than their job, is going to say, I want to be treated with respect, so don't yell at me in front of everyone else. There's a lot of people that won't do that because they don't want to lose their job. And then there are people that will absolutely do that because their integrity is more important than their job. And depending on what you do in certain situations is what you get in other areas of life. And I don't mean to say that to blame you or make you a victim, or I'm not saying that to say that you're not going to be unlucky sometimes or get the raw deal or a bad hand sometimes or often or a lot. I'm not saying that it can't happen, because it does. It does happen all the time. When you think you're healed, something comes along and reminds you that you're not. When you think you're over all your dysfunction, something comes along and reminds you of something that you're dysfunctional about, or somebody that is dysfunctional. Somebody toxic comes along and challenges you. There's always something that can come along and change your life in that way. And then you have to learn something new and learn how to figure out how to get through that. But let me get back to the point, which I'm trying to make here, is everyone has their own path, their own values, their own beliefs, the way they handle toxic people, difficult people, the way they honor themselves, and that can lead to what you get in life. And because of that, that also makes your path unique. You cannot possibly say that, oh, our paths are similar, so we should have similar results. It doesn't work that way. We can both be handed $10,000 today. You might take it and make $1 million in a few weeks. I might take it and have a brand new TV or a brand new something, a couch or whatever. And I might look at you and go, man, how did you get $1 million? I didn't spend my money like that. I didn't know I should invest it like that, because their brain's different. My brain's different. Their brain's different. So I'm still not necessarily addressing this person who wrote. I know they're saying, well, that's not exactly what I mean, Paul. I mean that I have some internal programming. I guess this might be the final part of this. I have some internal programming that tells me that when somebody succeeds who was on a similar path or who has a similar education or similar experiences, when somebody succeeds, I immediately put myself down or feel unworthy or worthless. I feel maybe stupid. I hate myself. Because, here's the question, because why? Because why? Why do you go into self-loathing mode if somebody else succeeds? Are you jealous? Are you envious? Are you angry at yourself because you should have succeeded by now? Why is that prevalent in your mind? Why do you see someone else succeeding that might have a similar background, similar education? There are similarities, but of course, you're both unique, so you're going to get different results. And of course, you have a different network of people. And one person might be more resourceful, so you get your resources from that person, and they might get their resources from another person, depending on what they're looking for, depending on what you're looking for. So there's all kinds of tendrils out there that reach out to people and things and everything you need to get the results you want, and sometimes nothing you need to get the results you want. So what do you have left? You have what you have. And so these two people that you saw on LinkedIn, for example, they had a graduation party, and you immediately compared where you are with them. Now, one thing I didn't talk about with the imposter syndrome, and I'm just going to backtrack a little bit, is that when I was going through the imposter syndrome, I realized, or at least this is part of my realization, was to remember that the people coming to me and listening to me and improving themselves because of me, the people that came to me were the people that I needed to talk to. And they saw me as the person they needed to talk to. We related at that level. So there are people that come to me, listen to me, and they like me, and they take my advice or my suggestions, and then they go off on their life and their life improves. There are people that are definitely doing that. And because of that, I had to realize that what I know will help the people that need to know what I know. That's really imposter syndrome 101. What you know will help other people that don't know what you know. That doesn't mean you have to be an expert. That doesn't mean you have to be qualified or certified, because sometimes what you know is what somebody else doesn't know and they need to know. So you become the teacher. This is one part of the imposter syndrome that isn't necessarily directed at the person who wrote, but I think I want to mention it before I forget, is that this was part of my healing. I had to realize that what I know, some people don't. Or what I know could actually help people that need to know what I know. It can help. And here's the next part of this, which is, I believe, more important. People won't listen to you if they don't want to know what you know. They won't listen to you if they don't want to know what you know. So there's a segment of people like that, that they seek you out because you know something they want to know. And then there's a segment that won't seek you out because they don't want to know what you know. I know that's just an easy concept, but because you will always know something that somebody else doesn't know, somebody out there doesn't know, that makes you their teacher, their guide, their mentor, if they want to connect with you. You just have to be open to them connecting with you. Because if you weren't the perfect person for them, they would not seek you out. They would not ask you a question. They would not learn because they don't want to be receptive to what you're teaching. And so they're not going to listen to you if you're not the right person. If you are the right person, they're going to listen to you. And sometimes their life will change. And then they'll thank you for it. And so I wanted to add that, because what's important is that you're going to know how to turn a screw with a Phillips head screwdriver, and somebody else isn't going to know that. Does that mean they should take a 4-year course in carpentry just to turn a screw? I know carpenters are saying, yeah, they should. But maybe not. Maybe all they need to know is how to turn a screw, and you know how to do that. So why wouldn't you? This is what I like about healing or getting over the imposter syndrome, is that you'll always know something that somebody else doesn't know, and they'll know something that you don't know. And just because it's just a simple matter of maybe turning a screw doesn't mean you can't mentor somebody in that way. What's funny is that my girlfriend and I were selling something online, and this young couple comes over to pick it up. And I remember talking about power tools with them, and the guy's like, no, I stay away from power tools. And I thought, well, do you have power tools at home? Do you use them? No, we don't use power tools. We have like a hammer and a screwdriver, and that's about it. And I thought, wow, that just made me an expert on power tools. I use power tools, but I wouldn't consider myself an expert by any shot. So in my opinion, maybe nobody should listen to me about power tools, but I know how to use them. But this person, the part of this couple, says they know nothing about it, which means the next level up from knowing nothing is knowing something. So that made me realize that there's just people out there that don't have enough information and just need the next level from where they're at. And so again, this is just coming back to where I was with the imposter syndrome. If you are dealing with anything like You don't think you're smart enough. You don't think you're good enough. It's very helpful to remember that sometimes you are at the perfect place for someone else. If the person who wants to learn to turn a screw goes to a 20-year master carpenter, they may teach them the exact right way, no doubt. They may teach them that. What if there's just too much information? Or what if it's told in a way that makes no sense to them because they're using all this carpenter jargon? And so the person who just wants to be able to turn a screw might get too much information, and now they're overloaded and they don't know what to do. And this is just a minor, silly example, but you get what I'm saying. Is that sometimes you are at the perfect level to help someone where they are. They need that level. They don't need anything more, anything less. They just need what you know. So that can also help with the imposter syndrome. And I'm finally getting to what this person is asking, but I wanted to make sure I covered all aspects of the imposter syndrome. They wanted to know if I wrote or have any episodes on that. I did create an article called Building Self-Esteem and Self-Worth While Avoiding the Ego Trap. So if you go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com, you will find an article called Building Self-Esteem and Self-Worth While Avoiding the Ego Trap. So just type in the search field like ego trap. There's two words, ego trap. And you'll find the article. And I do talk about the imposter syndrome there. Coming back to this person's email, my first question to you is, who in your life taught you that you don't have value? Who is it? Somebody did, because as you've heard me say before, if you've listened for a while, you're not born valueless. You're not born thinking badly about yourself or thinking that you're dumb or whatever. You're born worthy and lovable and valuable and important. All of these things we're born with. It's just that people program us to believe elsewise. So I think it's important to start with asking yourself, who in your life doesn't think you're good enough or doesn't think you're important or smart? Who is it? Is it your mom or dad or some other caretaker? Is it a partner that that was in your life? Who did it? Who did that to you? That's a great question to answer, because these thoughts aren't yours, even though you've made them yours. These thoughts were planted a long time ago. So this person wrote that they had two colleagues that started a year later. They had a graduation party, and they could just feel the wave of self-loathing and self-hate immediately. And they wondered why their response was that they don't have value. Why is your response that you don't have value? It's because you are programmed to look at yourself and look at your own accomplishments and realize that you haven't done enough, or you haven't done it fast enough, and you need to do it faster, or you need to do it now, or you can't achieve what they achieved, so they must be smarter. So another question I'm going to ask you is, why does it matter if they're smarter than you? Why does it matter that they might make more money than you? Why does it matter? If you answer, well, I should have done this sooner. I mean, you're going after your master's. If anyone's jealous, it's me, because I don't have a master's, but you're going after your master's degree. So here's a case where you know something that I don't, because what you're studying is probably beyond me. What you're doing is way beyond what I've done in my life as far as academia or education. It's beyond me. You're smarter than me in some things. I know some things you don't, just like you know some things I don't. Okay, so they graduated a year earlier. Why? Why did they graduate a year earlier? Did you do something in your life that caused a delay? Did you fail something? Did you crash and burn? Did you fail a test? What happened? Well, they're smarter, so they were able to get there faster. Maybe that's your answer. Well, if that's your answer, then why do you care if they're smarter? What if they are driving around in Porsches right now, driving around some fancy car, some sports cars? You look on their social media, and now they're taking the helicopter to work. Why does that bother you? If you're like I used to be, you're going to look at it and go, man, that could be me. I could be doing that now. Why aren't I doing that right now? Why aren't I that successful? Man, I remember having those feelings a long time ago and seeing people succeed. I remember a friend of mine and I worked together, and I was getting, something like $14 an hour. And after I left that job, he went on and got a job for six figures, $100,000 or something. And I thought, oh, here I am going on to another job for like, I don't know, I think it was a raise of $20 an hour. And to me, that was amazing. $20 an hour? Wow, that's awesome. And he had $100,000. And so I thought, why does he have that? And why don't I? And I came to the conclusion that I'm lazier. I'm not willing to put in the time and the effort and the energy to study what he's studied. And because of that, he's going to get opportunities that I don't have. Well, doesn't that feel like you're worthless or devalued in some way, Paul? No, actually, because I've accepted that it's okay that I'm lazy, that I'm going to approach different things in different ways. And I've come to accept that because I'm not willing to sacrifice some of the important values in my life, or all values are important, but the values in my life, I'm not going to sacrifice those for job, for six figures or whatever. I'm not going to sacrifice who I am. That means that other people are going to succeed in different areas that I might want to succeed in, but I'm just not willing to put in that kind of effort. That is not a limitation. That is just an acceptance of who I am and how I like to be and who I like to be. So I'm not saying that this person who wrote that they have these limitations that are holding them back, but again, coming back to your values and your boundaries and your beliefs and the decisions that you make in your life and who you allow into your life and who you allow to put you down if they're insulting you and disrespecting you, all of these have to do with the decisions that you make in your life. And if you are not okay with who you are and how you show up, then what ends up happening is that you see other people succeeding in ways that you're not, and then you blame yourself because you're not willing to accept that there are certain limitations inside of you that are okay to have. That's not the absolute solution or anything like that. I'm just saying that sometimes we don't accept who we are. That doesn't mean that if you think you're dumb that you should accept that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that in the case where my friend got a six-figure job, I was willing to look at that and ask myself, well, Paul, are you willing to go to school and learn all this networking crap? It was a technology job in the cable industry. And he had a lot of networking experience, and I didn't. Are you going to look at all this networking crap and, you know, learn all this stuff, stuff that you're really not interested in? And I thought about it, and I realized, no, I don't really want to do that. And that made me feel more comfortable in who I was and my decisions and the amount I was getting paid. It just felt good knowing that he had responsibilities that I didn't want. And that made me feel good. That made me realize that I'm in the place that I want to be because of my decisions, and he's in the place that he wants to be because of his decisions, even though I would like to be at the same income level as him. I would have loved to have a six-figure job as soon as I left that $14 an hour job. But I didn't want to make the investment. I didn't want to put the time in. And it made me realize, oh, well, that's just who I am. Of course, if I don't want to put the time in and I don't want to learn stuff that I don't care about, then I'm probably not going to get that six-figure job. And I like not having to think about or be responsible for things that I don't care about. So I made decisions back then, and I continue to make decisions today that are in alignment with who I am at the deepest level. And this really comes back to what you value most. And so to the person who wrote, you know, what do you value? Do you want to study for 12 hours a day and really push ahead and forge ahead for a career? Is that what you want to do? Is that what you feel like you should do? Because from what you're sharing with me, it looks like you're saying that because they graduated early, that you feel like you should have done more to graduate early. Or that's what I think you're saying. I might be wrong. Maybe you just see that they are now successful and you're not. I guarantee you, people are looking at you right now, including myself, and they're saying, wait, you're getting your master's? That's a huge accomplishment. You are successful compared to me. You're successful. And then the person with the master's degree is going to look at someone else and say, yeah, but I didn't graduate early. Yeah, but I'm not an astrophysicist. Yeah, but my IQ is only 190. Oh, that's the comparison game. This is what happens. We compare ourselves to other people that have different levels of skill and different success in money and relationships and things like that. And we think, oh, yeah, but I didn't do that. Instead of realizing the steps that they took are different than the ones we took, and that we are different because I wasn't willing to sacrifice X. Because that happens a lot. I'm not willing to sacrifice what? In order to get what they got. And sometimes maybe people are smarter, are luckier, have better resources, and will always be 3 steps ahead of you or 20 steps ahead of you. Sometimes that happens. I know people who are 1,000 steps ahead of me and where I want to be in life. And I see that as the road I'm traveling. I see that as my day-to-day journey, my incentive, my motivation to keep moving in that direction. And one of the reasons I feel positive about that and feel really good about the direction I'm going is because they have proven it's possible. And I know that there are people that look at my life and where I am and say, that guy is where I want to be. That guy has what I want to have. That guy is a success. I want to be more like him. And when I think about that lady who wrote to me and sent me that check and said, your information is valuable and I want to pay you for it, I suddenly become humble that other people are looking to me for my advice, for my thoughts, for my insights, just like you wrote to me. Very humbling. I don't have a master's degree. Why is somebody with a master's degree asking me about anything? Because that person is probably much more educated than I am. But we all have our unique abilities, our unique talents, our unique approach to everything, and we all make decisions that lead us to where we're going. I've been doing this show for, what, almost 9 years? And there were people that created shows that only did it for, let's just say, 3 years, and they became millionaires. And I look at that and go, wow, I would love to be a millionaire. That would be fantastic. I'm not a millionaire. I would love to be, though. Why not? Why not? That would be fantastic. Do I look at them with envy or jealousy? I look at that and say, oh my God, what did they do to do that? What did they do to reach that level of financial success? And when I studied what they did to do it, I came back to myself and asked, am I willing to take those steps? That suddenly grounded me. That suddenly made me realize, no, I'm not willing to take those steps because they did certain things that I don't want to do because I don't really want that in my life. It stresses me out. They did things that stress me out. They took steps that stress me out. I don't like to be stressed. I don't want anxiety. I've been there. I don't like it. And so I've purposefully taken the slow route to any type of financial success. I've purposely told myself this. I said, I don't care. I don't want to do what they did to get where they are. And if it takes me 20 years, it's going to take me 20 years as long as I'm continuing to move forward, as long as I have momentum, as long as things keep working for me in the direction I'm going in, because I'm not willing to sacrifice myself. I'm not willing to sacrifice my time, my energy, my money for certain things. I will for other things, but I'm not willing to make sacrifices that lower my quality of life, that take time away from me just sitting outside every now and then, connecting with myself and feeling grounded, not willing to do certain things that they did, even though I am busy all the time, but I fill my time with what I want to do in my life because that's what I've chosen. And because I chose that, I can't look at somebody that makes millions and then look at myself and say, man, you're a loser, because I'm not willing to make the choices they made to make their millions. And I'm not saying that any of these people did the wrong thing or they're unethical. I'm just saying I don't want to take the time or the effort or the energy to do what they did because it would not be in alignment with who I want to be and what I want to do with my time. And so my final words for the person who wrote, you said, it took me a while to calm down, and I wondered why my first response was that I don't have value. That's why I asked you, who made you think that you weren't worthy? Who made you think that? Because once you know, then you can start to change this inner narrative that keeps running in your brain. Once you know who it was, like your dad said that you need to work hard. That's what my girlfriend had to experience. Her dad said, hard work is how you get anywhere in life. Well, hard work can make you more money depending on what you do. But you know, some people work three jobs. That's a lot of hard work, and they're still trying to make ends meet. So maybe that's a false narrative. Maybe that's a false belief system. Maybe you have some false beliefs in there that are causing you to feel bad. And those beliefs need to be questioned because they are ruining the moment for you. Because where are you now? You are earning your master's. There's a lot to be said about that. And if you are focused on someone else doing what they're doing, and you're comparing yourself, that must mean that somebody else compared you to a version of what they think success looks like. So that's a false belief system. I mean, that's my guess for you. This is my final answer for you. I think that's a false belief system. You have to ask yourself, what makes me believe that? What is true and what is not? The question might be, is that true? So if you said, well, I should have graduated by now, what makes you believe that? Well, they graduated, so that means I should have graduated. Why? Well, if they did it, you know, then obviously that means I'm lacking somewhere. Is that a bad thing, to be lacking somewhere? Well, you might, you know, I'm not making fun of you, but you might stammer on that. You might think, well, is it a bad thing? Well, obviously, you must feel it's a bad thing to be lacking somewhere, but this is where you need to question your beliefs. Because maybe you're going to have a great relationship and they're going to have great jobs, and you're not going to sacrifice your relationship to work 16 hours a day. There are different levels of this. There are different areas of life that you're going to succeed in, and they're going to fail or do worse. I mean, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll succeed in every area of life. And if that's the case, then they are the luckiest SOBs that I know, because we all have challenges in different areas of our life. Some of us have easier lives. Some of us have harder lives. Some of us have the worst imaginable lives. So when we see somebody else succeeding, we have to remember that there's usually, almost always, a sacrifice somewhere else. Because believe me, when we look at our values and you look at them and you think, wow, they're going to make a lot of money and I still haven't graduated college. Let's just say they make a lot of money and they are narcissists and people don't like them and they scratch and claw their way to the top and people don't want to be near them. We could look at that and say, well, they've chosen to sacrifice social interaction and friendships and good relationships so that they can reach the top and be financially successful, if you even call that successful. Just they have more money or whatever. We could say that, but are you willing to sacrifice relationships and your position in your social circles just so you can be financially successful? And I'm not saying one has to be sacrificed, but this is what happens, is that we make decisions that are in alignment with what we value most. And if what somebody values most is money, even at the cost of a great relationship, then they're going to get the money, but they're going to lose some other things that other people might value more. And so what comes into play is also values. And so I have gone everywhere with this, and maybe I still haven't addressed it, because, you know, self-worth is one of those things that starts in childhood. You know, you're going to feel as worthy as your caretakers or those people that you look up to. You're going to feel as worthy as you believe they feel about you. And if you don't feel worthy in their eyes, that leads to low self-esteem later. If you have low self-esteem, you have to think about the origin of that, which usually comes from a sense of low self-worth, which usually comes from a parent or caretaker that has been neglectful and has not taught you that you truly are worthy and lovable and important. And when you see yourself as hot stuff and all that, When you see yourself as a great catch in many ways, then when somebody does something that you feel is successful, when you come back to yourself and say, wow, I wish I had that. I mean, that might be your thought. But because I don't doesn't mean I'm bad or not worthy. It just means we've all made different decisions to get where we are in life. And some of us were more lucky and some of us had more resources and some of us were dealt a bad hand and on and on. But instead of coming down on yourself, you realize that it's not about your worth at all, but your decisions. But we make it about our worth, but perhaps we were taught false beliefs that we need to start questioning. And so this is where I want you to go, is to ask yourself what you believe to be true. What makes you believe that it's important to hate yourself? Because that's what you're doing, is you're making hating yourself a value almost. You're telling yourself it's important to hate myself when I perceive somebody else as achieving what I want. So it's important that I hate myself. So where did that come from? Who said that to you? What made you believe that? And is that belief true? And start drilling into those beliefs and what made you think that. And then choosing the path that you want to take in the world. Because, man, I just had this gut feeling that somebody taught you that you need to be like them. Somebody taught you that. I'm going to guess dad, but maybe mom. Someone taught you that you need to be like them, otherwise you're a failure. And so what kind of belief is that? If my dad taught me that I had to be more like him, I might be dead by now. And no disrespect to my dad, he's passed on. But he made decisions that I don't necessarily agree with, and he made other decisions that I do agree with, but I did not want to live my life like that. So I chose not to make that a belief of mine, that it's important to be like my dad, because my dad didn't have the right belief system for me. And so whoever taught you that you need to be more like them, that's a great belief to challenge and question in yourself. And when you challenge and question it, the next thing to do is to develop a philosophy inside yourself that you are going to follow your own path. You're going to forge your own way so that you are unique, you are original, and you're not doing what other people are doing. You are on your own journey, on your own path, and what you create is going to be yours and no one else's. This is your journey, not theirs. This is who you are, and sometimes we need to figure out who we are and make sure that who we are is not still being influenced by someone in our past. Forge your own path. This isn't about anyone else but you. There are so many other angles that we can address here, but I'm hoping I've given you enough to run with and start creating your life the way you want it and not the way somebody else told you to live it. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank our patrons of the week: Anna, Harriet, Andreas, Allison, Chelsea, Deborah, Somaya, Mary, Debbie. Debbie's new. Debbie, you are generous. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining. Paige, Brian, Donald, Kamel, and Stephen. All of you, I am so grateful for. These are the people that financially give to the show, and I am so grateful for each and every one of you. I read new names every week, and again, I appreciate all of you. Thank you, patrons. And if you find value in the show and you want to give back, head over to moretob.com and you have options to do that. And I have a few surprises over there as well. Thank you so much again, patrons. And for a show on how to deal with difficult relationships, visit loveandabuse.com. You know, talking about keeping toxic people out of your life, that is a good podcast to listen to. And if you know you're the difficult one, if you create a very difficult situation for the people that you care about in your life, maybe you're emotionally abusive, maybe you're controlling, maybe you're manipulative, head over to healedbeing.com. And I have a very important program, a very life-changing program that will give you the exact steps you need to take to not only heal yourself, but also improve or even save your relationship. If there's still love in their heart, there's a chance. And I believe Healed Being gives you the best chance there is. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And just a final thought on that email that I received. They said that they've always been a top student, and they started getting anxiety, and then they were diagnosed with depression. Then they said, I never stopped studying, but I wasn't able to do it at the same speed as before. And so this is one of those bad hands, right? We're dealt with a bad hand in life, and nobody wants depression. Nobody wants to feel that. Nobody wants anxiety. This is one of those curveballs that life throws us that we may feel like we have no control over, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes it takes understanding that we are making decisions based on what somebody else wants for us. Sometimes we're living our life holding in negativity, and we haven't expressed it to anyone. We haven't talked to a therapist or anything like that, or we haven't addressed it in a way that's most effective. Like, I have episodes on depression and anxiety that are very important that you might want to listen to if you're dealing with that. But this person wrote that they were a top student. Why were you a top student? That's a dumb question, I know, but why? Why were you a top student? Were you told to be a top student? I have a feeling that from what you wrote, I'm just using your context, that because you wanted to impress someone, I could be way off, but I have a feeling that you wanted to impress someone, and the anxiety came about because you felt like there was so much pressure on you that if you didn't impress them, or you did something wrong, or maybe you didn't like what you were studying, if you didn't do any of that, it started to affect you. And instead of, I'm going to give you a scenario here. Let's just say your dad said, I want you to graduate college with a master's, and I want you to be this specific career. And if you don't, you're a loser. Let's just say your dad said something like that. And that negatively incentivized you to go to college and follow a career path or an academic path of his choice. And during the time that you did this, you realized that you didn't want to do it. Or you realized that maybe you did want to do it, but you didn't want to fail. Because if you failed, you're a loser. So this is your dad's programming inside of you. Whether he intentionally did that or not, you took it on as, if I fail, I'm a loser. Again, this is just an example. But let's just say that's in there. Your dad, you know, said all this stuff, and now you have this belief that if you fail, you're a loser. So the fear of failure creates resistance in the body, and the resistance amplifies the fear, which then turns into anxiety. And when you feel anxious, you don't want to feel anxious, so what you resist persists more and then amplifies again. So now you feel anxiety, and now you are stuffing all these emotions down, which turns into depression. And again, this is an example. I'm just going through some a sequence of events here. And now you have all these thoughts and feelings, and what you really want to say is, Dad, F you. I don't want to be like you. What if that was it? What if this whole time, your lack of self-worth was something like that? And because you never said it, you held it in and just kept going through the motions so that you followed your programming, which is basically your dad saying, if you don't do it, you're a loser. This is a big what if. I could be way off, but this stuff happens. This is the crap that we grow up with. This is what we're programmed to believe, that if we don't do something the right way, then we are something else. We are not good. We are not worthy. We are not smart. And so this can really affect you. And because you said you were a top student and then you got anxiety and then you were working slower, to me that could mean that you were driven to excel and succeed. And if you aren't a success, you're going to disappoint someone, and then they're not going to have love for you, and that's going to make you feel unloved, unworthy, and you don't want that, so you're trying to resist all these thoughts and feelings that you really have inside of you. Just like, for the longest time, I didn't realize I was holding on to hatred toward my stepfather. You might have some thoughts and feelings about whoever programmed this into you. And I'm not saying that you should call that person up and say, F you, I'm not doing this. I'm just saying that it's important that you make sure that if that's in there, you address it. You reflect upon it. You go into your mind and say what you want to say to that person in your mind's eye. You let it out in some way. You express it. Maybe even talk to somebody, or maybe even talk to them and say, I know you want me to do this, but I can't. I'm going to forge my own path. I'm going to take the steps that I want to take for me. I want to create my life for me. I want to be who I want to be. I'm not here to follow your blueprint. I'm here to make my own original blueprint. I'm going to be a pioneer. I'm going to navigate my ship my way. That's really stepping into your adulthood, isn't it? That's really stepping into being your own person, being an individual. That is forging your own path. And that's all I have for you today. I really hope something I said today resonates with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just remember, always keep an open mind, because that's how you step into your power. That's where the first steps of forging your path originate. And I want you to always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful and you are worthy beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.